Good morning and God's blessings to each one of you here this morning. I've appreciated what was shared so far. And the passage, the Sunday school passage that we looked at and Layton shared about, ties very much into what God laid on my heart this morning. I'd like to take a look at Colossians 1, chapter 1. We are going to read the first 12 verses. I'm not going to be talking about the whole passage, but I want to hone in a little bit on some of what is there. Colossians chapter 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on your behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What I'd like to take a quick look at this morning, and we'll try to narrow it down to 15 minutes here. I'm not going to be able to do this passage justice in a short amount of time, but I hope what it can actually do is maybe whet our thinking a little bit, to push us into hopefully searching and seeking and coming to a deeper understanding of what it means. But I want to look at the two words that really jump out to me. And I guess maybe there's a couple other passages where it says it this way. In Ephesians, it says to walk worthy. Here in Colossians, it says to walk in a manner worthy of Christ. And so this idea of walking worthy and what that means, what should that mean for us as believers, as followers of Christ? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 11 and 12 says, therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you and him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So this idea of walking worthy, I did a bit of a lexical search on the word worthy. And I found it kind of interesting. The Greek word axios is kind of the root of this word worthy. It's also the root of the word axis. And so I think of the earth spinning on its axis or something spinning on its axis. The word worthy speaks of balance and of value. So when you think of balance, a balanced sphere spinning on the axis or on an axle. Balance as in the balance of a scale, which also gives the idea of equal value or matching up. And I found that really, really interesting in the context of this, where Paul is calling the people at the church of Colossae to walk in a way that is worthy of Christ, that is worthy of the Lord. So in essence, he's saying to conduct yourselves in a manner that matches up to the bar that Christ set, or that holds equal value to what Christ set. And when I look at it in that way, it's actually almost terrifying. Because how does that look? How do I do that? Is it possible for me to do that? Something that came to mind is the idea of knighthood. I've often been intrigued by stories surrounding the Middle Ages and kind of that era of time. And that time when the knights were the elite. But what did it take to become that? Well, there was a thing of nobility, and your birth played into that as well. One thing that had to happen was they had to develop certain skills to be able to receive that title, especially in riding and in fighting. They had to receive a proper education to become a knight. Once a person was deemed worthy to be knighted, the requirements were then to defend and to serve their country, to defend the church, which sadly led to holy wars, the ideology. They were required to protect the poor and the weak. They were required to be generous with their resources and to uphold justice. But interestingly, a knight could lose his status and be reduced to shame and disgrace if he failed to uphold the requirements, the duties, and the ethics of his knighthood. It could be stripped away. So really what made him worthy of the knighthood was his ability to perform and achieve what was required of him, his social status, and simply his ability just to maintain everything that was given. And so that's the idea. I think in general, when we think of something being worthy, that's really the idea that we have surrounding that. You look at if you have a business and employees, is your employee worth their wage? Are they worthy of the pay they receive? At work right now, they have a bit of an incentive for guys to put in some extra hours. Once you reach so many hours in a 2-week pay period, there's a $3 bonus over the entire pay period, $3 an hour bonus, which is really nice. So once you reach that many hours within the pay period, you're deemed worthy to receive the extra. And so this whole idea of worthy is so often in our everyday life is based on performance. It's based on what we do. It's based on whether we meet the requirements for that specific thing. And that's okay. That's not necessarily wrong. It's actually can be a good thing. It pushes us to hopefully become better where we are, to increase our value in the workplace. For an athlete to be worthy of that prize, they push themselves into training more and more. You build yourself up. And those things are positive things. But does it hold the same connotation for a believer? When you're looking at your Christian life, you're looking at your walk with God, this idea of walking worthy with Christ, does it hold the same idea as we usually look at it? Colossians 1 ties this to several characteristics. If you look at verses 10, 11, and 12. But one is being fruitful in every good work, to steadily increase in the knowledge of God. Live in the strength and power of God to endure and to persevere. And in all of that, giving thanks to the Father for what he has done. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, talk about living in gentleness and long-suffering towards each other, bearing with one another in love and unity of the Spirit. These are what the characteristics that are laid out of walking worthy with God. 2 Thessalonians, the other passage I read, talks about fulfilling the pleasure of His goodness. And then within all of that, in everyday life, some of the things that came to mind are living lives of integrity and transparency, of honesty, of leading our families toward God, of reaching out and caring for the vulnerable and hurting, of being willing to lay down ourselves for the good of others. These are things that the Bible would deem walking worthy. But I know for myself, I struggle so much to hold up to those standards. And I simply cannot do it. And so the question is, what do we do with our brokenness? What do we do with our own brokenness and the areas in which we lack so much? And how do we walk worthy of Christ when we so often miss that mark? Maybe you don't. Maybe you have it figured out. But I do not. And I often miss that mark. And I get caught up in my own desires and my own feelings, my own passions. And I find myself pushing my own agendas and my ideas rather than giving God the space that He needs to work His will in my life. And this can even happen with good things, to where I can get so hung up on something that I completely miss where God wants me to go. So what do we do with the brokenness? And this is the paradox of the kingdom of God. And it's a beautiful paradox. Because to walk worthy with Christ, I have to understand my own unworthiness. Matthew 5:3 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So to understand that I have absolutely nothing to bring to the table of my own. And Isaiah talks about our own righteousness being as filthy rags before God. Even the good that I do is not something that I can actually offer in purity to God on my own. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, "We are not adequate in ourselves, but our adequacy is from God." Romans 12:3 says not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We need to understand that we are fallible and that we do fall into sin. And we need to understand that our own vision is often limited by our own experience. We look at things through our own lens, and that's not always clear. To walk worthy with Christ, we need to understand His worthiness. I love the verse, there's a number of verses in Revelation that create these beautiful pictures, but Revelation 4:11 is where the elders are falling before the Lamb saying, "Worthy are You, for You have created all things, and for Your pleasure they are and were created." So He's worthy because He is the Creator. He created us in His own image. Revelation 5:9 is another one of those moments where the Lamb is being worshipped. And it says He is worthy. Worthy because He has redeemed His people. He redeemed His people by giving His life. He's worthy because He died. He sacrificed for us. That's why He's worthy. To walk worthy with God, we need to understand our weakness and His strength. Understand that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. But how often do I rely on my own abilities, my own power to overcome temptation? And how often, when I do that, does it actually work? It doesn't. And I fall flat on my face because of it. So understanding that I am weak, but in my weakness, He is strong. To walk worthy of God takes a constant reliance on the Holy Spirit. And I think the passage in Colossians that we looked at speaks very, very much into that. In verse 9, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." This spiritual wisdom, the NIV words it wisdom and knowledge that the Spirit gives. And once again, differences in wording here, so I go run to the lexicon and look it up. But this idea of spiritual understanding, the word translated to that, very much points towards the knowledge. Yeah, the knowledge that comes from the Spirit. Knowledge of the world of the Spirit. And so to be able to even walk out the points given here in this passage takes that leading and that voice of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 makes it very, very clear that the fruits that are produced, that God is asking to come from our lives, are produced only by a walk with the Spirit. Ephesians 4, where it talks about the results of walking worthy, once again, point to those fruits, the fruits of the Spirit. And when it talks about the unity of the Spirit, to me, it's just very self-explanatory. It's unity, togetherness, that only comes as we walk together through the Spirit. So what about us corporately? What about as a church? What does this look like for us now? And I guess these thoughts came to me this weekend in light of our coming conversations that are laid out. And as we continue to think of moving forward. And the truth is, I don't necessarily know how that should look. And I'm not sure that it's in our place to always know exactly where we need to be then. But there's a couple of things that came to mind, some questions that I think will hopefully aid us in finding the path that God has for us. But one of them is, to what extent are we willing to step out in faith, to let go of control and embrace the story, embrace the journey that God has for us, whether easy or hard? Are we willing to take an honest look at ourselves and recognize our own weaknesses and see His strengths? Are we willing to allow God to define what is true, even if it means laying aside our own desires? That's a tough one for me. Will our choices be born from our desire to control our safety and security? Or will they reflect a body whose identity and security is found in Christ and surrender to Him? And are we willing to actually seek and fully rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit and not on our own ability to reason? But the truth is, we're not always going to get it right. But I pray that we can be a people whose desires continually push us to drive our roots deeper into Christ and into His life, to draw from that, so that in our walk, because of our commitment to Christ, because of our seeking the Spirit and our desire to live lives full of Him, that the Father can look at us and say, "See my children, they are walking worthy of me." Micah 6:8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God."